Good morning and welcome to the Mount Carmel Church of God. We're happy to have you here today. I have a few announcements. Pastor Tim wanted to pass on a thank you for all the appreciation cards and gifts he was given for the Pastor Appreciation Month. A reminder of Thanksgiving offering this year will be going to the food pantry, and also we're doing the Operation Christmas Child, so there's details in your bulletin. And also the Trunk or Treat was a success. We had over 100 kids that went through, and we thank you for everyone that participated in that. And another announcement that we just set a date for Friendsgiving. So if you have children that are in junior high through high school or sixth grade through 12th grade, we are doing Friendsgiving November 21st. At 12 o'clock, so it's 2 weeks from today. And if you are planning on coming, just try and contact myself, and so then we have an idea of how many are coming. And just a reminder, the offering plates are in the back, so when you leave, you can put your offering in them. And then also, we do still have prayer requests out in the back, so please pick them up and be praying for the people on the list throughout the week. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just humbly come before you. We just thank you for the opportunity to corporately worship together as a body of believers. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit will work through John as he brings this message. I pray for safe travel for Tim as he's heading back from the wedding. And I just pray that your Spirit will move in us, help us to be your feet in this world, in your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Shall we stand if you're able?
To God be the glory. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord. sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of
great thou art, how great You may be seated.
Good morning. Awesome. I love hearing that. Today's an awesome day, isn't it? Yeah, amen. A few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to come up here and talk about slavery to temptation or slavery to addiction. And I was asked a couple times, why didn't you finish Exodus? So today, we're going to finish Exodus. We're going to go through it. Woohoo! Because I love Exodus 20. So if you have your Bibles, turn it to Exodus 20, and then mark in there as well 2 Samuel. We're going to jump into 2 Samuel towards the end a little bit. But before we start, Leslie Carber, one of my employees at work, one of my fellow employees, got married yesterday. Amen. So she's off on vacation with marriage, and a great lady. And then please continue praying for Sean Leach. Battling cancer, and he's having a hard time with throat cancer, tongue cancer, so please do that. Operation Christmas Child. If you open the envelope where there's boy and there's girl, and then on the backside is an envelope, please put your check in that envelope and put it in the box. I don't go through the boxes. Once they're sealed and shut, that's between you and God. So with that being said, we're going to jump into our sermon here, or little teaching, and go from there. But Mom, before we do, go to Matthew, and the chapter before that, or book before that, is what? Malachi, right? Malachi. Open that up for me, Mom, if you would. So let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for many things. I thank you, Lord, for this family, for your word, and just everything you are. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to enjoy your word, for the opportunity, Lord, to come together as a family, for your blessings and guidance, Lord. For everything you pour into us, God, I thank you. Fill our hearts and our minds with wisdom and clarity, Lord. Help us, Lord, to always give you praise, always be a pleasure to your sight and your ears, Lord, in your holy name, amen. So you have it, Mom? Hold it up like this. Now grab that sucker and rip it in half. I don't think so, because you'll stone me, right? So here's the point I'm getting at. Everybody has grandparents, right? Yeah, we came from somewhere, right? Everybody has great grandparents, right? We came from somewhere. We have children. We have aunts and uncles. Same way in Scripture. Old Testament is just as important as New Testament. All the way from Genesis to Revelation is a correlation. Read it all the way through. It's very important. So struggling with slavery of addiction is huge. What's the definition of an addiction? It's this: a state of being compulsively committed to a habit or a practice or something that is psychologically or physically habit-forming. All of us have an addiction. Can we agree to that one way or another? We all have an addiction? Yes. How about Romans 3:23? It says, for all have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. Thank you very much. Thanks to Adam and Eve, we have an addiction to sin. Yes? So today we're going to talk about that a little bit on how to combat it. But first of all is this. Pull up your big boy pants and put your steel-toe boots on, because we're going to get a little heavy today. And if I step on toes, it's more for me than you, and you're going to see why here in a minute. Thirty years ago, I met my angel, my wife, my darling bride. 30 years ago, she's everything to me, everything. I bet the day that she brought me home to Mom and Dad, they're like, "Get rid of this boy, get rid of him," right? Yep, Dad's saying amen. Mom's like, no, I knew there was something special on that guy. But that was August 13th. April 11th, we got married. I saw that gal and I hooked her. I'm like, I want this gal. She's mine. And we went out to the movies and went to the movies. And like a gentleman that I thought I was, I opened the door for her and went to the movies. And we got done with the movies and took her home. And I kissed her on the cheek. And I said, I'm going to marry you. She looked at me and laughed. Who's laughing now? So where am I going through this? Through trials and tribulations we've had in marriage. Everybody has, yes? Yeah? Amen, yeah? We have. I never had a home. Never had a church family. Church was for funerals and getting married. That's it. My mom is hooked on crack still. We're not going to talk about my dad right now. I never had anybody to express the truth to me, ever. I raised myself, thought I did all right. So I know all about addiction. It controls every moment in your life, folks. Every moment. I don't care what addiction it is. Coffee. Right now, I'd like to have some chocolate with peanut butter. Oh, just sounds so good, right? Yeah, laugh. As a boy, we went to company parties. I got the booze for the adults because I could take and put booze in my cup and get drunk. I got high off the secondhand smoke from my mom at a young age. Going into high school, I was dependent on everything you can think of. Everything except needles, because I didn't like needles. Angie once asked Shelly, a gal that we went to school with, what was John like in high school? And she replied, he was like Moses spreading the sea when he walked down the hall. Because I was so strung out all the time. Just gone. I don't remember my high school years. I don't. At all. I graduated with a D. They kicked me out so they wouldn't have to deal with me. Here's your diploma. There's a group of boys and a few gals. We always hung around, always. We stole NyQuil because we didn't have money and we drank entire bottles of NyQuil so we can get high, get drunk, act stupid. We were all like rabid dogs walking down the hallway. This led me into self-mutilation. Ooh, we'd take razor blades, cut ourselves. We take paper clips, make them into a brand, and we brand ourselves with it. I tried hanging myself. I've tried shooting myself. The chamber didn't discharge. The bullet was in there, and the hammer hit it, and it didn't discharge. I tried multiple drug overdoses. Tried drowning myself. All this led into my marriage with my wife. The first 10 years were hell in our marriage. Why? Because I brought addiction into my marriage. Angie didn't know what she was getting into. She's my angel. I'll kill for her. I will do anything for her. If it wasn't for my wife and my in-laws and God, I wouldn't be here today. It goes further. 10 years into our marriage, I'm chefing full-time, working 60, 70, mom remembers. An insane amount of hours. Guess what's in the chef industry? Drugs. Women. large amounts of booze because you're the chef. You can have anything you want. All you have to say is, I want it, and they bring it to you. 10 years into our marriage, I filed for divorce. Had the papers starting to draw up because I had enough with her. I had enough. She wasn't being a wife. Wait a minute. Adam and Eve. Who let Eve fail? Adam, right? Can we agree on that? I failed my wife. It goes further. That's not it. Addiction is horrible. It takes everything. It sucks the life out of you and your marriage and your family and your everything. So I'm so wrapped up into my addictions, drugs, married, 10 years old, serving in the church, Royal Rangers. If you don't know what that is, it's like Boy Scouts, but Awana mixed together. Amazing program. And I'm a leader. And I'm so addicted, I don't know what I'm doing. Angie comes to me one day and she says, I've got cancer. I'm like, so what? I don't care. I didn't care. She goes, you don't understand, I got cancer. I said, I don't care. Papers are drawn, you're not mine anymore. I don't care. She goes, I need you to take me to Iowa City. I'm having surgery. I go, drive yourself. Josh was a little guy. He was still not even walking. That's what drugs does to you. Addiction does that to you. And so I drive her. I drive her to Iowa City. We didn't say one word to each other. She has her surgery. She had a golf ball size tumor on her cleft palate that it was pushing her palate down. They had to completely remove her cleft palate. And I'm like, yeah, so what? And I go in there and I see her laying in bed, and I've got Josh. She's got tubes and everything, just a mess. And my heart breaks. And I look at her, and I can't believe it. And she was hot or something and kicked the covers back, and there was this envelope-sized patch on her right leg where they had to take skin graft to fix her cleft palate. And I wept for the first time for my wife ever. After that, we started talking. We went to marriage counseling, and in the counseling, I talked to him about my issues, and she and I, we started talking. I came home. What's 5/11? What day is that, Mom? Come on. Angie's birthday. 5/11/2003. I came home so messed up that I didn't even know what day it was. I don't know what I was doing or where I was or what was happening, and she took care of me. She took me up to the room. She cleaned me up, and she got me ready for bed and packed my bags. She had had enough. Addiction, folks, it's in the church. It's all around us. We have to be aware of what it is. And how do we combat it? For me, guess what? Exodus 20, we go back to the original rules, the original guidelines that God provided for us. He gave us the rules and regulations to give us a life that could be prosperous, a life that could just guide us every day. God gave these to us. Why aren't we using them anymore? Where was the church when I needed help? Well, I was never there for the church, so the church can't be accounted for. Where's my family? The family didn't care because it was acceptable within my family. Addiction is anything. It's pornography. Guess what? You have issues with pornography. If they're kissing on TV, you shouldn't be watching it anyways. Flip it off. That's what you got a wife for. How do you think your wife feels when you take and you flip some garbage on, you know? It's the same as adultery, right? You have an issue with booze, don't go to the bar. You have an issue with drugs, don't go where people hang out with drugs. Guess what? It might mean new friends. They're not your friends anyways. Our lives are valuable. Everything we do is valuable. Can we agree with that? I know some of you heard a lot of this, and I'm sorry. It may not be for anyone in this room, but somebody watching someday, you never know. There might be somebody watching right now that has a needle in their arm, and it flips on, and guess what? Brother, sister, you don't have to have that needle. You don't have to. They may be so strung out and crying and asking for help. They're going, where's the church? Guess what, Mount Carroll? Here we are we not? Amen? We're right here. So we're going to go through the first part pretty quick, I hope so. We got about an hour and a half worth of material. It's not too bad. So take your phones. Everybody pull your phones out. Turn your crock pot down. It's electrical age, Dad. Get used to it. It's okay. So here we go, Exodus 20, 1 through 3. We went through this before. I was asked to go through it again by a few, so I'm going to go through it again, and we're going to slide through it and get towards the bottom end of Exodus. Elohim, God, the strong creator, Genesis 1:1, Exodus 3:14, I am who I am. God has taken and purchased us with everything. The same thing he did for Israel when he pulled them out of the slavery, folks. Guess what? He can do it for us right now, right? Because God doesn't change. We change. Right? I'm proof. Thank you, Jesus. I'm proof. God does not change. He will never change. He lays it down before us. It's up for us to accept it. It says, and God spoke these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. I am the Lord. It's reintroducing, he's saying, oh, you hard-headed individual, Johnny Ricketts. I am the Lord. I purchased you with Christ. I purchased you with blood. I take you out of slavery. You are free. And we are, folks. We're free. Exodus 24 through 6. Elkanah, jealous God. Exodus 25, it says here, you shall not make for yourself images in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth below and the waters below. You shall not bow down to them and worship them, for I am the Lord your God. I am a jealous God, punishing the children of the sons of the parents of the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to the thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Church, keep his commandments. Please. Please keep his commandments. Love God as much as he loves you. And guess what? You can never love enough. Keep loving, keep pushing, keep driving. As I tell the people at work when they get Mr. Grumpy Pants, pick your feet up, set them down, keep on going. Military guys, Jeff, you've heard that, right? Pick them up, set them down. Keep pushing forward. Never retreat. Never back up. Keep pushing forward. That's what we're to do, church. Keep pushing forward with everything we got. And tell you what, the garbage that gets in front of you, say, hey, that's all right. Because either A, you can go around them, or B, you can pray for them. Tell you what, why don't you do both? Right? Because somebody will try to drag you down. Somebody will try to take you over again. It's not going to happen. Image. There is only one God. Anything we make or try to construct can never get the magnitude and beauty of who God is. Ever. Moving forward, Exodus 27. The misuse of his name, Jehovah El Elyon, Genesis 14:22, the Lord Most High. He is the highest thing ever. When I think of this, I've said it before, think of God as he's up in the universe and he's using the earth as his footstool. He's there above us and he's just saying, talk to me. That's all. That's all. That's just, that's it. That plain and simple. Just talk to him. Misuse, I hear it all the time at work. Oh my God, oh, you're praying. Awesome. And they just look at you like, what are you saying? That's all right, you'll get it eventually. Exodus 28 through 11. Remembrance, I put here, remembrance is a key. remembrance of whom we serve. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do your work. On the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord of your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son, your daughter, your male or female servant, your animals, any foreigner residing in your towns. For 6 days in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and earth and the sea and all that is in it. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, which he has made holy. Remember, I'm a workaholic. Mom's laughing. I work and I work and I work, and when I'm off, guess what? I work at home. And Angie's going, just sit down and relax. And I'm like, okay, and I'll get up and I'll go do something else. She's like, sit down and relax. I sit down and she's like, really? So yeah, I'm sitting with you. I love you, dear. And I'll get up and do something else. And she's like, just sit down and relax. Church, 6 days. You don't have to take Sunday as your Sabbath, okay? Take a day and go, guess what? God blessed me with all this, and sit back and look at it. Dick Emmel, is he here? I love you, brother. He and I worked like Mad Hatter little carpenters on our stairs, and we got them done, right? One day we worked 24 hours. Mrs. Emmel goes, where's my husband? I'm like, oh, we're still here working. She goes, is he going to come home? Yeah, we're almost done. We came home long enough to take and get a shower and come to church. And he goes, are we working? So yeah. He goes, how long are we going to work? I said, I'm just going to work and get it done. He goes, no, I need to rest. And I'm like, what do you mean rest? He goes, really, seriously. I'm like, okay. I thought we were going to work until it's done. He goes, I can't work with you like that until it's done. I'm like, all right, Dick, you tell me when we're done, we're done. That day was a short day. I love you, brother. But they're beautiful. I sat there last night out of my grumpiness from everything that's around me, and I looked at those stairs, and I was like, thank you, Jesus. They're level. They're beautiful, gorgeous sculpted wood, you know, nice oak wood that Dick and I did, mostly Dick. I was just like, okay, I'll get that for you. Okay, I'll get that for you. But you got the idea, right? So he's like, here you go. Here's a piece of wood. And he cut it. He goes, put it on. I'm like, how? He goes, like this. Oh, just go out there and do that. I'm like, do what? No, I'm just messing. Did I help good, Dick? Was I a good helper? Yeah, I was a good helper with them. But they're gorgeous. Church, 6 days. Please, take one day of rest. Exodus 20:12. Honor. I hate this one, right? Honor your father and your mother. I said it last time the exact same way I said it now. So you may live longer in the land the Lord has given you. You know, Angie corrected me sternly. You have to find a way to honor your mother and your father. She's right. I just don't know how. I don't like this sermon. Originally, we were going to talk about Acts and the Holy Ghost. I had it written up. And God's like, no, do this. I'm like, I don't want to. I fought him through till Wednesday. And he's like, your sermon's done, man. Just get it on paper. I'm like, God, I don't want to. And he's like, too bad. So here's what you get, folks. I'm sorry. It's for somebody. Exodus 20:13-15. We're starting a new topic, the new information here. And we're going to hit this, and we're going to take Exodus 20:17 as well, and we're going to mix the two together. I call these King David's sins, is what I call them here, because it's huge. It says, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, his male servant, his female servant, his ox, his donkey, or anything that belongs to his neighbor. How about Jeep? We'll throw Jeep in there too because I like Jeeps. We're not to do it, right? Cat, all right. Cat, you can't have my new steel chainsaw. I'm sorry. You can't. Oh, look at her. Yeah, there you go. It's a 36-incher, man. Let me tell you, you rip that sucker, it just rips through the wood. Wah! Sorry, Cat, can't have it. But the point I'm getting at is this. I call it King David's Sins. And we're going to read it here a little bit. But tell you what, I said earlier, if you have issues with liquor, don't go to the liquor store. If you have issues with pornography, don't look at scantily dressed women. If you have issues with drugs, stay away from the druggies. Stay away. Don't go. Don't do it. Flip to 2 Samuel. We're going to read through this. David and Bathsheba. I always wondered why, and I thought about it and read through it. And has anybody here seen VeggieTales? Yeah, I love VeggieTales, right? King George and the Rubber Ducky. Yeah, I love it. And that's the story right here. You know, there's King George, and he's in his big bathing, big bubbly bath, and he's got his little rubber ducky, right? And I love my duck. And he's just saying how much he loves his duck until he gets out and he sees somebody else with a nicer duck. Guys, gals, uh-uh. That's all I'm going to say is uh-uh. I don't think so. David and Bathsheba, in the spring of the year, the time when the kings go out to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him to Israel. And they ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Reba, but David remained in Jerusalem. It happened late one afternoon when David arose from the couch and was walking to the roof of the king's house, and he saw on the roof a woman bathing herself. She was beautiful. Point one. Don't put yourself in that situation with any addiction. I've said it a lot. Any addiction. Don't put yourself there. We're just using David because guess what? He did one of the big nasty sins, right? But guess what? He was a man after God's own heart, was he not? We read it in Scripture, he was. He was a man after God's heart, and God forgave him. Guess what? I can get that same forgiveness for messing up too. David sent and inquired about the woman that he once said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" David sent a message and he took her. Do not steal. Right? Right? Do not steal. Now she had been purifying herself from her uncleanliness, and then she returned to her house, and the woman conceived, and she went and sent to David, said, "I'm pregnant." So David sent to Joab a word saying, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent Uriah to David, and Uriah came to him, and David asked how Joab was doing and the people they were doing, that they were off to war. And David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." And Uriah went to the king's house and followed him there with presents. The king sent presents. When we're in sin and we're in addiction, number one thing I learned, guess what you do? You try to hide your addiction, don't you? You do whatever you can do to hide that addiction so nobody sees it. It's better to hide it than to admit to it. But guess what? It comes out eventually. We're going to see that. That's right. Who said that? Yeah, amen. It comes out. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all of his servants of the Lord, did not go down to his house. And then they told David, "Uriah, did not go down to the house." And David said, "Uriah, have not come from a long journey? Why did you not go down to your house?" Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel, Judah, dwells in the booths of the Lord. Joab and the servants of the Lord are camping on an open field. Shall I then go to my house and eat and drink and lie with my wife? As I live and as the souls live, I will not do this thing." Then David said to Uriah, "Remain here today and tomorrow, and I'll send you back." And Uriah remained in Jerusalem the day and the next. David invited him to eat and be present and drink, and so he made him drink. And then the evening went to lie down on the couch and the servants of the Lord, but he did not go down to his house. What a righteous man, right? As men and women of Christ, we have to do the right thing. Uriah blows it out of the water here. He put David on check. He goes, "Hey, wait a minute, David. Isn't the ark at the battlefield? And I'm sure Raya's kind of like thinking, wait a minute, the kings are supposed to be there. What are you doing here? And why all of a sudden I'm a nobody? Why'd you just call me here? Uriah's not stupid. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it to the hand of Uriah. The letter he wrote, set Uriah the front of the hardest fighting and then draw back from him that he may be struck down. A king is hiding his sin. He's hiding his addiction. He's hiding his situation. We will do anything we can. How many guys have you seen or heard in jail the testimonies? I didn't know what I was doing. I don't know how it happened. All of a sudden, I'm arrested and I'm in jail. Guess what? They're strung out, drunk, or just plain grumpy, right? How many times have we heard of a DUI driver? Hello, I cut them out every now and then. They smack a vehicle, and God forbid, the one vehicle that had a family in it's gone. They passed away. But guess what happened to that drunk driver? He walked away. They don't admit to their addiction. And as Joab was besieging the city, he assigned Uriah in the place where he knew where the valiant men were. And the men of the city came out and fought Joab and some of the servants of David. And among the people they fell, Uriah the Hittite also died. Then Joab sent to David the news of the fighting, and he instructed the messenger, "When you have finished telling the news of the fighting to the king, then if the king's anger rises, and if he says to you, 'Why did you go so near to the city and fight?' Do not know, but then they should shoot at the wall. Who killed Abimelech, the son of the Jegai? Did not a woman cast the upper milestone around him from the wall so that he did at Thebes? Why did you go so near the wall? Then you shall say, 'Your servant Uriah the Hittite is also dead.' So the messenger went and he came to David and all that Joab said to him. And the messenger said to David, "Then the men gained an advantage over us and came out against us in the field, but he drove them back to the entrance of the gate. Then the archers shot your servants at the wall. Some of the king's servants are dead. Your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead." David sent a messenger, "Thus you say to Joab, 'Do not let this matter displease you, for the sword devours not one another. Strengthen your attack, go back against the city, overthrow it, and encourage them.' Then the wife of Uriah heard that her husband was dead. She lamented over her husband. And then in the morning was over, David sent and brought her to his house." Man, he did good at that, didn't he? She became his wife, and they bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. See, we can do whatever we want. We may not admit to it or we may not see it, but who sees it? God sees it, right? Yeah? He always sees it. It'll always come out. Nathan rebukes David. He comes to this. This is awesome. It says, "And the Lord sent Nathan to David. He came to him and said, 'There were two men in a certain city, one a rich man, another a poor man. A rich man had very many flocks and herds, and a poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought. He brought it up, and he grew it up with his children. It used to eat his morsels and drink from his cup, and he lay in his arms, and it was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveler, a rich man, and he was unwilling to take one of his own flock or herd and prepare for the guests who had it. But he took the poor man's lamb, and he prepared it. The man who came to him, David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, 'As the Lord lives, the man who done this deserves to die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity.' Nathan said, 'You are that man.'" Church, whoever's watching, we are that man. Watch what we do. If you're having issues, ask for help. It's not about pride. We're here together. We're a body, right? We're here to hold each other up. We're here to be guided and directed and protected with God's word blanketed around us. If you're having issues, pull an elder aside and say, hey, man, I'm having an issue. And this is what it is. What can I do? And the elder's probably going to go, I don't know, but I'll find out and I'll get back to you. Right? Or they're going to say, hey, let's go pray and fervently pray. And guess what? When you come into that situation again where you're having issues, hey, elder, can I call you? I'm having issues. Absolutely. You call me. I don't care what it is. I may not get back to you. Send me a text. Hey, text savvy, right? Send me a text. Say, I'm having an issue. Exodus 20, 18 through 21. I call this the test. This is awesome here. Then the people saw the thunder and the lightning and heard trumpet and saw the mountains of smoke and the terror. They trembled with fear and they stayed at a distance. And Moses speaking, speak to us yourself and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us or we will die. And Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. God has come to trust you so that the fear of God will be with you and keep you from sinning. The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. How awesome would that be? You know what my test was? After Angie was diagnosed with cancer and had that surgery, we almost lost two of our sons. Joel, which was a little bit earlier with this, and he had a disease where the brain thought that he had too much muscle mass. Mom remembers. And it turned his muscle to gelatin, where you could grab his arms and it was like squishy, nasty mess in his arms. You could feel stuff moving. And we went to Shriners over and over and over. And finally, the last time we went, the doctor said, your son's going to die. Get things in order. Your son's going to die. So I drove home like a mad hatter, kind of shuffled my wife and son off, and I just needed me time, and I had a 72 Chevelle with a 350 big block of four barrel in there, just screamed, headers, right? I'm like, this is nuts, I need to go. Ripped out of the driveway, tearing down the highway, and I had my Bible, and I started cursing God, and I threw that sucker out the window. It was a Bible Mom and Dad gave me. And you know, it's funny, when God wants to get your attention, he will. That Bible come back in the car, landed on the seat, and it opened to the story Job. I got home, and I started reading the story Job, and I said, you know, I don't have it too bad. Second test. We almost lost our second son to the exact same thing. I passed that test. Prayer. Pray. Constantly, always, never ceasing, continually. We're going to finish up with this, unless I can go longer if you want me to. No, John, don't do it. Here's our reward. Exodus 20, 24, 22 through 24. And the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites this. You have seen yourselves that I have spoken to you from heaven. Do not make any gods. He's reminding them, right? Or alongside of me. Do not make yourselves gods of silver and gold. He's reminding them of that again. Make an altar of earth for me and sacrifice on it burnt offerings and fellowship offerings of your sheep and your goats and your cattle. Wherever I cause my name to be honored, I will come to you and bless you. That's what God's telling us. He's going to bless us, folks. I started my walk where I'm at right now about 10 years ago with seminary. Just trying to be better. Trying to get the old nastiness away. Just horrible, maybe 11 years ago. Just to get rid of it. God's guided me and directed me. I've been a licensed pastor now for 7 years, and God's still blessing me and still guiding me and still directing me. And I was asked not that long ago, why don't you go by John anymore? I go by Johnny because John's dead. Johnny's born again. He's covered with the blood of the Lamb. Pastor Johnny Ralph Ricketts Jr., first generation Christian in my family. First. Church, hold out for the reward. Please, guide and direct the ones around you. If the praise and worship would come up, we'll do that, and then I'll close in prayer. Fight your addictions. Please, fight them. Like it matters, because guess what it does? Fight it with everything you have. Scream, scratch, and yell. Be pure, be clean. Be the best you can. God, I ask you to look after everybody. Guide them, protect them. Thank you for my angel, Lord. And my in-laws. Most of all, for your presence and your guidance, Lord. Fill our hearts and minds and touch and bless our souls. Help our paths be blessed with richness and guidance and love and provisions. In your name, Lord, amen. Please, in the back are the offering plates. Please leave your tithe and offering in the plates. Have a great week.